This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Matthew Zapata, and I'm interviewing Yarela Lopez on 2858th Avenue on March 13th. Do you give me permission to record this oral history?
Yes, you may have my permission.
Okay. So where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in Honduras, Central America.
So why did you leave your country of origin?
I left looking for a better future for myself and my family.
Okay, so what do you miss about your country of origin?
What I miss the most is the bond that you have with your family. Like, everybody's like so close, and you know, on the weekends you have like family gatherings and friends and neighbor, mostly friends, you know, gather together, and you cook and you eat and you talk about how your week were and just spend quality time as a family.
Okay, so what don't you miss about your country of origin?
What I don't miss?
What don't you miss about your country of origin?
The violence, I guess. I don't miss that because there's a lot of violence.
So what makes it so violent that you don't miss it? Like, what kind of things be happening there?
Well, we don't have safety over there like we do here. Like, sometimes, you know, people decide that they want to hijack you, and they get on the buses. The public transportation over there is nothing like in the United States. You can be taking the bus to go to school, to go to work, to go run your errands. And next thing you know, somebody decided to hijack the bus and want to rob everybody on the bus. They get on the bus with guns, heavily armed. And they ask all of the people sitting on the bus to give them their jewelry and their money and their cell phones, sometimes even your clothing. They take away from you. And if you refuse, they will just kill you on the spot. No question asked. So it's like, you never know when they're going to do it because there's no previous warning. They don't give you no signs of what they're going to do. And they just board the bus like a regular passenger. And next thing you know, they just put the gun to the driver's head and tell the driver to stop the bus and request for all of the customers on the bus to hand over all of their money and their belongings.
So what did your friends and family say when you told them you were leaving?
Well, they was sad, and I was sad as well because it was, you know, it was a separation. I've been with my family my entire life. I went to school with my friends, my best friends. You know, we live in the same neighborhood. We grew up, you know, in the same area from time we was kids. We played. We've been friends for years. So, nobody was happy. They was happy for me coming to something more promising, like for me to make a better future for myself and my family. But on the same token, it's a separation, and separation at the end, they're not easy. They're not easy. It's like hard for you to depart from the ones that you love.
So what were your expectations of the United States?
I didn't really had a lot of expectation. I know that everything is it's a challenge, and you have to adapt. You have to be mentally prepared to know that there will be changes, and you have to be open to, you know, for changes. And you just have to do the best you can and make sure that you stay doing things the right way. And if you follow the rules and regulations and you work hard, you can accomplish a lot of things. You can accomplish what you know, if you put your mind to it, you can work hard and get it. So I didn't really have no set expectation. I just knew that I wanted to better myself. I wanted to get a better future for my family, myself. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy, that I would have to work hard and adapt to a lot of things. And I think I did just that.
So how did New York City meet and fail to meet your expectations?
Again, I didn't had no set expectation. I knew that I had to make things happen. I had a lot of opportunities. Like everybody else, there's opportunities out there. You just have to make your choice. And you just have to do the right thing if you really want to accomplish or get ahead. Because nothing is going to be given to you easily. And the things that worthwhile don't never come easy. You have to work hard to get things done.
So tell me about your journey to New York entail. Did you go according to plan?
Well, no, I didn't really have a plan. And the journey was, it was not the best. It was hard because when I came to the United States, it was not really, I came into the country with a visa. So it wasn't like, okay, I was going to come and I was going to stay here. So I always had that in mind that I was just here temporarily. So the journey was not easy. The transition was not easy, but I always, tried to, you know, I always did the best I could and I always tried, as high as I could and to get the, you know, accomplish the dreams that I had and that I came here for.
So when and with whom did you come to New York City with?
I came to New York City, with my, I had at the time my 1-year-old daughter that was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Because the thing is that when I came to America, I landed in Boston, Massachusetts. I lived there for a period of time, like maybe, I would say maybe 4 years, roughly. And then I transitioned into New York City. So when I came from Boston, Massachusetts to New York City, I had my 1-year-old daughter with me at the time. That was back in
1989. All right. How were you received upon arriving in your neighborhood, specifically in the United States, more generally?
I was received with a lot, you know, open arm. I was greeted with a lot of love. My grandmother was living in Boston, Massachusetts at the time, and you know, and my grandmother, of course, she did her best to welcome me into the country, into the neighborhood, and to, you know, into their life. Because I had a lot of family members that I did not know in person until then. I knew them by pictures, but I didn't have the opportunity to meet them in person until I came to United States because they was living in the United States from time they was kids. And this was my first time coming to United States and they never went over to Honduras. So I didn't get to know them until back then in 1986. That was the year that I first came to America.
So how did you adjust to a new language and or culture in New York City?
Well, the language was not too hard to accomplish, thank God, because my mom spoke English and Spanish to us in the home back in Honduras. So when I came here, I had to like kind of like just brush up a little bit, but I had a pretty much, I knew the language. I had, you know, just had to learn how to utilize some of the words that maybe the way that we said them was different. But at the end of the day, I already knew how to speak English. So that was a blessing because I just had to, like I said, polish it up a little bit and learn how to speak it correctly. And that was a big thing because I knew how to communicate with others. I knew how to ask questions. I knew how to ask for direction. If I didn't know something, I knew how to ask question in general, whether I was in the store or was in my, you know, around people and I needed to ask whatever the question might be, I knew how to communicate with them in Spanish and in English. And the culture, it was not hard to adapt at all. I just had to learn to understand that, you know, it was, everybody here had to just, you know, get up and go to work, and everybody just striving to go and do what they needed to do. And the culture was not much more different than what I knew. So it was not a hard transition at all. Neither, the culture or the language. It was not hard at all for me. Like I say, I always adapt. So if it was something that I was not accustomed, I just learn and I just, you know, adapt to it. So it was not hard at all.
So what new opportunities were available to you upon your arrival in New York?
I had much more opportunities in New York than I had in Boston. I was very fortunate that I got a job. I came and I started going to school to, I guess, like I said, to better my English. Then I started working in the health field. I started working as a home health aide. I went and I take a training for 4 weeks. After the 4 weeks, I got my certificate saying that I was certified to work with people with, you know, older people, with kids, people that had some kind of disability, people that were just released from the hospital and needed somebody to come to their home to provide home care. That's one of the things that I did. I had to take like vital signs. So in the training, they train us how to do all of that. I was not allowed back then to give them medication. I can just assist them with taking the medication, remind them to take the medication, help them with their showers, prepare their foods, take them to doctor's appointment, help them clean their apartments or their homes, run their errands, et cetera, et cetera. Be their companion, be the person that was there to give them support.
So were there any opportunities that were denied to you because you were an immigrant?
No, I don't think it were. I think everything, like I said before, you just have to work hard and you have to be good and you have to try your best. You can't just give up. You can't just sit there and say, oh, it's too hard, or they're not. You can't just make assumptions. You just have to go out there and try, and you have to always be mindful and you have to respect people. You have to try to treat everybody fairly. You have to be kind to people. And that would open up a lot of doors, a lot of opportunities for you. You just have to be positive. You can't go into the mentality that you cannot do something, because you just have to set your mind. And if you set your mind to something, it can take you as far as you want to go in life. There's no obstacle. You make the obstacle for yourself. The opportunities are there. You have to be the one to find them, and you have to be the one to make it happen and work hard, because like I said, nothing comes easy. You have to be somebody who is willing to go the extra mile, somebody who's willing to work hard to accomplish things. And if you do that, it might not happen as quickly as you want it to, but if you strive and you try hard enough, it would eventually happen. You will see that it would happen.
So what were opportunities? What did the assimilation project look like for you?
I would think the assimilation process of the project was just, like I said, it was not the easiest, but I worked with what I had, and I made the best that I could out of it. Even if it was something that probably at the beginning looked like it was going to be hard, impossible, or wasn't going to be possible, or people would tell you, no, you can't do that, it's hard. I never believed that just because that's the concept or the idea that others might have, that I should just cut myself short and don't try just because somebody says so. I always believe that I always wanted to try and I wanted to learn and I wanted to see for myself. Not saying that people were telling me the wrong thing, but sometimes just, it's all depend. Everybody's different, and some people just don't want to go and don't want to do nothing that is hard. So they would just easily give up. I'm always been like a fighter, always been somebody who a go person. I get up and I try hard and I work hard. So I guess to me it wasn't as bad as they thought. And if it was, I just changed it around and I made the best. And I opened up the chance for me to do what I had to do.
Okay, so where have you lived in New York and why?
I came to New York City in 1989, December of 1989 to be exact. When I came here with my young daughter, she was one, had just turned one at the time. I live in Manhattan. This is the borough that I seen others. I visit people in other boroughs, in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, in Queens. But the one that I like, maybe because this is where I get my apartment. I got my apartment here. I work here. I get the chance to go to school here. I had the rest of my family here. I had my two other sons was born in New York, in Manhattan. So I just established my roots here. I just established and started my life and raised my family here. And I like Manhattan. I work here, and I just, maybe because I get to know, I know it the way I know it, everything just work out for me here.
So what was the hardest part about living in New York, about moving to New York?
When I moved from Boston, I mean, I had my grandmother that was alive at the time. She's no longer with us. And my family, my uncles and my cousins were there, and it was hard because I had just left Honduras some couple years before that and left my family, my friends, and now I had to leave my family and my friends again. So it was hard, but I things in Boston was not really as you know, wasn't really working out for me, and I didn't see the opportunities that I have in New York happening for me in Boston. So I had to transition. I had to move, and I came to New York not knowing exactly what I was getting or how, but I was always somebody, like I said, determined, and I always, you know, trusting God, and God, that God was always, you know, next to me, and he would see me through everything, and my determination to better myself and to get what I need to get and get established. I think with that drive, I just make the decision that it wasn't the easiest decision to leave my family again in Boston, but that's what I had to do.
So what was your favorite part about living in New York?
It's so many beautiful places in New York. It's just a beautiful place in New York. The only thing I didn't really like is just that it can be a bit crowded sometimes, because Manhattan is a very crowded city. But it's you know, I really like it at all overall, with all in the obstacles and whatever. That is a lot of people. It's like overcrowded in the buildings and stuff, but at the end of the day, you know what? I really like Manhattan. I'm not saying that I probably wouldn't live in other boroughs, but if you ask me to pick, so far as what I've seen, I am very comfortable with Manhattan. I like Manhattan very much.
So, how did your neighborhood change since your arrival?
Oh my God. Tremendously. I've been living in this area since 1990. Yes, because I moved from Boston to New York in 89. And in 1990, I moved to this neighborhood where I live at. It changed tremendously. There was a lot of buildings that was like not vandalized, but they was empty. You see, they board up the windows and the doors, and they put locks on the, like chains on the doors downstairs to prevent people from going in there to sleep in the nights or starting fires, because they used to do that a lot. They used to go in these buildings, and I guess they used to start fires to keep themselves warm in the winter, and they used to end up sometimes starting fires. So all of that has changed. They, other people, I guess they bought these buildings. And they renovated these buildings. They turned them into co-op. They turned them into housing. And it is beautiful. They built a lot of co-ops around here. They have the gyms. They have a lot of banks. They have the nice supermarkets. They have like 4 supermarkets, 5 supermarkets in the same area. They have coffee shop. They have fast food restaurant. They have like so much things that they had open in the neighborhood. It's have changed tremendously. It's like they have like daycares and they have like new schools and it have changed tremendously from when I first moved here until present. It's like you walk up the dung and it's not but these beautiful buildings and co-ops and they clean the streets and it's just they plant the gardens and the trees and the area just look the build a park for the kids and it's beautiful. It have changed tremendously for the best.
So, how has your reception in your neighborhood and the United States more generally changed over time?
It like I said, maybe because they have better so much things around here, and the quality of the neighborhood, the quality of life of the area, and they, you know, have improved. There's not as much people outside. They used to be hanging around, doing bad things. All of those people, thank God the police clean up the street. It's not that it's none out there still, but at least it was not the amount that you used to see. Like as soon as you come out your house, your building, you would see them standing around just doing bad things, selling drugs, just doing bad things. So they clean up a lot. I as far as me getting to know, so I am always at work. Or if I go outside, I go to the supermarket to run my my errands. I don't really hang around out there. I say hello, good morning to everybody, but I keep it to myself. I mind my business and go. If I can do something, if I see somebody in me, I do it. But other than that, I just like don't really be outside. But overall, I think it's, you know, it's okay.
So what would you change about the current U.S. immigration system?
The immigration, that's a tough topic. I don't think I would change, anything other than the period that you have to wait to process, a petition. Like if you petitioning for a family member, it's like, or a loved one, you have to like wait like so long. And I understand because I understand that is millions of people that are in the process of legalizing themselves in this country. And there's a lot of people that are petitioning to bring their loved one from all over the world. I'm aware of that. Maybe that's the reason why the process is so long. But I think that's if I can change something, that's one of the things that I probably will advocate for, because I think if the process is less extensive, that people can get through and do their things quicker, it wouldn't be as many as legal people in this country, and it wouldn't be as much people waiting for their loved ones to come to be reunited in this country. That unfortunately, because the extent of time that it takes to process, they have to wait like a very, very long time. I had brothers and sisters that had to wait like over 14 years, almost 16 years in order to get you know, the permanent residence in the United States to get a visa interview. It was a long, tedious process. Paperwork, I mean, again, that's the only thing that I probably would like them to change. So don't make the wait period so extensive, like so long.
So how was the politics of the last decade impacted your experience as an immigrant in the United States?
There've been some good ones. There've been some ones that are not too good, but again, I guess it's just a matter of opinion. I can't really say much, and I don't have to really agree or disagree. I think these people I put in this leadership position, they're the people that are put there to run the country and to make decisions for their country, and we just gotta hope and pray that they make the right decision for everyone. Some of us might not like the decision. Some of us might like the decision, but at the end of the day, We just have to respect it because they're the people on the lead and they're the people that are in charge of making these decisions. And we all have to just make sure that we vote. We have to get involved. We have to support our communities. We have to advocate and vouch for our communities and our cities and our states. And we just have to all unite. We have to work as a team to make things better. We cannot put the responsibility on one person only. This is something that everybody has to be involved. Everybody has to play a role in order for it to better it. We can't just sit there and criticize what they are and aren't doing. We have to be part of it. We have to be part of it. We have to add ourselves to the equation, and we have to do what we have to do. And if everybody pull their weight and everybody do something, you know, then we have better results. We can't just sit there and say, oh, he or she's not doing a good job, or this president or this governor or this major. We always quick to make judgment and to accuse and you know, but we know, what are we doing as part of this? What are we doing to contribute to make it better? You understand? It's everybody's responsibility to make the world a better place, not one person.
So as an immigrant, what fears do you have?
As an immigrant, what fears do I have?
Yeah.
Just as an immigrant, I mean, I don't have any fears. I just, as a person living in the world, you just, you know, how fear for things that happen. Listen to all of the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the viruses and the disease and so much stuff that you know, happen. You afraid as a person in general, just because you never know. And, you know, things happen and you see and hear about so many people dying in earthquakes and hurricanes and airplanes and because they catch a disease or virus. It's like so much going on. But as an immigrant, no, I have no fear. I mean, I love this country. I live here. But if you go by the rules and regulation of this country, you have no reason why you cannot be a resident or a citizen in the United States. If you break the rule like anywhere else, there's a penalty. There's a fine to pay. If you break the rules, they might, you know, you might just have to go back where you came from. And if you do something over there, then you also will be held accountable. So it's not the country. It's just in general. Anyway, if you're somebody who don't follow rules and regulation, you can always run into obstacles. But I don't fear anything as an immigrant. I'm thankful that I was given the opportunity to come to this country.
So tell me about your path to citizenship.
Well, I became a permanent resident of the United States. And then I think after 5 years, I went and I studied they give you this form or this book that you study. Back then, I don't know now, things change every day. But back then you had to read and you had to kind of study all of these questions. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was like 100 questions. And you had to memorize all 100 because you didn't know what question what the interviewer was going to ask you. So therefore, you had to know all 100 answers. The question that was going to be asked probably was going to be 3 or 4, maybe 5. But you had to know all 100, all of the whole thing, because you never know which one it was going to be asked. So I memorized the whole thing. I went in. Of course, you make an appointment. I went into the day of the interview. The officer asked me the questions. I answered the question. And then they told me to go over to the other place. And then I had to sign a form. And then they gave me another interview date that I had to come to SOAR. And it's a room full of people. All of those people sitting in there was going to be naturalized. It was going to become American citizen. And then, you know, they read the odds and everything to you. And you sing the national anthem. And then they tell you, welcome to the United States of America. Now you are, you know, a citizen of the United States of America. So that was a very joyful day for me. I was very proud that I accomplished and I came so far. You know, and I'm very honored that I was given the opportunity as well.
Okay, so why did you come to the United States over any other country?
Because United States, who don't want to come to the United States? It's a beautiful country and it has so much opportunities. That if you work hard and you're here for the right reason and you do the right thing, you can go and accomplish as much or as far as you want in life. This is a country that gives you all of the opportunity. It's up to you to go find them and make it happen. But everything is out there. They give you so much support. They give you so much resources, so much things to for you to be able to accomplish what you, the American dream or whatever it is that you are seeking. Other countries, you would work hard, but it just, the opportunities are just not there. The United States of America is well known. That's why everybody from even the last place on earth want to come here, because it's well known that it's a place that people don't have to agree or like your decision, but everybody have to respect each other. Not necessarily meaning that people do, everybody does follow that. But for the most part, at least you have the chance of people giving you the chance to voice your opinion. It might not be the right one, but at the end of the day, it's your opinion, and they give you the respect and the right to say it, whether you it's right in your eyes or not. So that's something that other countries doesn't support with. You know, they judge people by the color of their skin. They judge people by their gender. They judge people with their preference. They judge people by their lifestyle. They judge people by so many things. And in this country, it doesn't matter what's your race, what's your age, what's your color, what's your gender, what's your sexual orientation preference, what's your lifestyle. They don't judge you by that. Everybody in here, from the smallest to the oldest, have an opportunity. Everybody has the right to be heard. Everybody have the right to be treated with respect. Everybody have the right for a fair chance, no matter what it is. So that's one of the things that make this country one of the greatest, if not the greatest on earth. And that's why everybody's is looking. They're going through so much things trying to get here, whether it's the legal or legal way, because they know that once they get here, even if they're wrong, they would have an opportunity for somebody to hear them out, to give them a chance, to give an opportunity to respect their beliefs. That's why I think it's one of the greatest, if not, like I said, the greatest on earth.
Okay, so how did you stay connected despite the differences with your family?
Well, nowadays is, well, back then it was not as much, the technology was not as great as it is now, but now they have WhatsApp. You can FaceTime your family, you can call them all the time, you can you know, you can send them a text, you can send them an email. It's like the technology is it's a monster. It's so huge that you can stay in contact with them on a daily basis. When they're here or whether they're over there, you can talk to them like they were here every single day. If you don't do that, is it because you choose not to do that? But the choice is there. You can do that. But again, like I said, the technology is like so advanced and it's giving us so much tool that we can utilize in order to stay in contact with our loved ones.
Okay. So do you feel that you need to hide who you are because you're an immigrant?
No. I am a very, very proud, strong Black female that I think that I accomplished so much. I came to this country with nothing but a basket full of dreams by myself. I had no family members at that time here. I only had my grandmother in Boston, so I really had to like start from scratch. And I managed to get a job, establish myself, had my family, raise my family, go to school, get a very decent work job that I love working with people with mentally disability challenges. I've been doing it for 13 years with this agency and the other agency. When I work as a home health aide, I worked like 6 years with them. So I think I have accomplished so much. I think that I am very proud of who I am. I think, like I said before, the opportunity was given to me and I accomplished a lot of things that people that were born and raised in this country have not accomplished. So I am very, very proud of me being a Hispanic, Black, strong female. Mm-hmm. Very proud of my roots.
That's good. Do you think, are there any other questions that I could have asked you that I missed out?
Yeah, I think you covered pretty much everything. You covered much pretty everything. I think you asked me all the questions, and I think I answer you to the best of my ability. I hope that my feedback and my input can be helpful to you guys.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.